חיים, חיים.
חיים, 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 חיים.
First of all, I want to thank Rabbi Meisner and all those, all the sponsors and all the hosts and, New York's got nothing over you guys. Right? You guys know how to do it. You know, even though, as Rabbi Gar says, yeah, how would he know? He lives in Far Rockaway. But under this administration, the border is porous. And I can make it to Lawrence. I can make it, and I can see how they live. And they got nothing over you. You guys know how to do it. Enough said. Echoing the thanks of all the sponsors and all the hosts, I want to thank Rabbi Alt for, inviting me in and giving me the opportunity to spend time with you and get to know you. And it doesn't have to end tomorrow. I invite you all. I have a lot of stuff up, videos, audios, and Parsha sheets on my website, evanshasia.com. Just go there, enjoy. It's all there, for your enjoyment, and join our mailing list to get any type of notifications, new stuff posted. But there's a few hundred things posted already, so whatever. You'll keep busy for a while. So please, go to the website, join the mailing list. So I want to end off with a discussion about how originally there was a plan A for Am Yisrael to be built out of Yaakov and Esav. What was the plan, right? And why it went wrong, and it'll shed light on our different functions as being the chosen people. We have multiple, there's multiple aspects, to what it means to be Jewish and what the mission was. But I want to throw out a few questions first. Yitzchak. I have Yitzchak as Eo Kitzai Befiv. Now look, he liked it because he was given him meat. And that's why I love everyone here also. You give me very, very, right. But he knew, it takes time to go out to the field. And so the time that you're hunting and preparing is not time that you're learning. Right? Yeah, but more than that, when Yaakov is coming in, posing as Esav, and Yitzchak asks Yaakov, you came pretty quick. Kikra Hashem lo kechlefonai. Hashem, your God, you made it, made me find the hunt really quickly. And so Yitzchak says, wait a minute, this is suspicious. Got to feel you, right? So, Rashi explains, he was talking too polite. He was talking, mentioning Hashem. Esav doesn't talk that way, right? So he knows Esav is rough around the edges, right? He knows that. But here's the problem. So he feels, the hairy arms. So, okay. Hakol kol Yaakov, yadayim yaday Esav. That's good. Now, the whole thing, what triggered him was, he's talking like Yaakov, right? That didn't go away, right? So after he feels him, no problem. Hakol kol Yaakov, yadayim yaday Esav. That's not suspicious, right? The original thing that triggered his suspicion is still there, right? What's he thinking? So now, so Yaakov gets the brachas. Now, before Yaakov goes off to the house of Lavan at the end of the parsha, so he goes into Yitzchak, and Yitzchak Avinu gives him some really big brachas that weren't included in the original package. He made him, gave him the brachas of Avram Avinu, and he gave him the blessing. Now, the land of Israel belongs to you. Now, why was that omitted from the first set of brachas? Right. So the brachas were in two parts. There's what he, as it were, stole, so to speak. And then there was these brachas that seemingly were always intended for him. It wasn't part of that package that was meant for Esau. So we go to the beginning of the parasha. V'yodo ochezes ba'akev Esav. Right, his hand is holding onto it. So Rashi said something very peculiar, right? So Bedinah Rotzakvot, there was like a, as it were, Yaakov felt justified in doing this, right? He tried to hold him in because Yaakov was conceived first. And Esav was conceived last. And Rashi says, oh, imagine a thin neck bottle, LIFO, right? Is that, they still use that term in accounting, right? Last in, first out, right? Right. The you know, so Yaakov was conceived first and got it, and Esav conceived second. So Yaakov, as it were, is kind of like the Bechor, but you know, he also has to be the first one out of the womb, so he wants to hold him back. None of this makes sense, you realize, right? If, according to what Rashi say, you know, that being conceived first, if the one who comes out second is the real Bechor, right? So he doesn't have to come out of the womb first. So he's got to come out of the womb. Just like he was conceived first, he should come out of the womb first, right? If being conceived first means, which it doesn't, as far as we know in halacha, it means nothing. It's all totally in peter rechem. The one who comes out of the womb first. So what's there? But he was conceived first. So what? So what? Right? You know, it should be the halacha that, you know, anytime twins are born, the second one is the Bechor, right? Because he must have been conceived first. And that's not the halacha. So what is this, you know, talking about? But he was conceived first. And he wants, just like he was Rishon Liyitzira, he should also be Poteres Rachma, just like I was the Bechor there. I want to be the Bechor who comes out of the womb. You know, it all goes by who comes out of the womb first. So what is this issue that, you know, he was conceived first? Well, what is the value in that? What is the meaning in that? You know, and by Rashi's own admission, it really doesn't mean anything. That's why he had to come out of the womb first. Right? So now, let's go back to the beginning. I mean, I'm talking about, like, Adam Arishon. Right? So in the second account of the creation of Adam, it says, Vayitzer, Hashem kibas Adam off from in Adama, Hakadosh Baruch Hu fashioned the man from, you know, dust from the earth. Vayitzer is with two yuds. Vayitzer. So Rashi says something very interesting. Vayitzer shtei yitziros. Man has two forms, right? Yitzira b'olam hazeh, a form for this world, and yitzira l'tchias ha'meisim l'asid lavo, right? And another form for, you know, for the future, for the world post-resurrection, right? We're carrying two forms. There's a tunis to man. One for this world, one for the next. Now, which, you would have thought, you know, you're first, you know, with the form in this world, you do some mitzvahs, right? And you cash it in at the end of time to get your, you know, your form. But no, it's not that way. You know, created with two forms from the get-go. Right? Which, you know, first of all, that means something amazing, right? That if a person has given up on Mekia Tolam Abba, God forbid, right? Given up, I'll just enjoy this world. I'll take a minimal portion there. You know, that's subhuman. It's only half of the story of humanity. Right? But the truth is, it's not just half of the story. It's really the whole end goal. Right, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to make it to Olam Haba, but it's an amazing thing. That means, you know, make it to Olam Haba is already built in. Right? We have two forms. We have the form that's currently actual, right, for this world. And we have another form that we have to actualize. It's in potential. Right? We have to actualize. We're born with that potential. It has to be actualized, and it becomes actual post-resurrection. When we go to Olam Haba. So now why two forms? Because the physics of this world are very different than the physics of the next world. Right? The physics of this world is that we know we have all the laws of biology, chemistry, and physics that we know to facilitate programming for a world where good and evil coexist. And that's why we have the laws of nature that we have. This is the programming for a world where the Tov and Ra are going to coexist. And we need a form to match the physics of this world. And we're going to explain that a little bit more in just a second. Right? Then we have, you know, a whole different form for Olam Haba. We can't go there with this current form. Right? Because Olam Haba, besides being, you know, forever. Right? So you need a form that lasts forever. But there's a different programming over there. That is a world that's Kulo Tov. And that's why all, as it were, the laws of nature of that world are totally different. We need a form that could endure there. This form that we have now wouldn't make it over there. Wouldn't have a place over there. Yeah. know, the whole, you know, the Rambam deals with this in his famous Igeres Trias HaMesim, arguing how we can't have a body as we know it in the next world, in Olam Haba, because most of the body as we know it is just, you know, we have the organs we have just to survive, you know, in a world where you have to eat, drink, excrete, right? And none of that applies in Olam Haba, right? So, you know, so, you know, you're going to have a stomach and you don't eat. For what purpose, right? Right? You're going to have, you know, intestines, they don't excrete. For what purpose? You're going to have lungs and you don't smoke. For what purpose, right? Right. So it can't be we do not have, you know, this form that we currently know, which is all geared for survival in this world. We can't, we need, you know, but the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't create us for this world. That's not why we were not created for the sake of this world. We were created for the next world. So it comes out the next world is the goal. This world is the means to get to the goal. So what's that? That's called Sof Maisa B'machshava Tchila. Right? You know, our end goal, Hashem created man to make it to Olam Haba. And that's why, and it's part of the very definition of being human. And that's why you have already in potential your Olam Haba form, because that's the whole purpose why you were created. He wouldn't have created you otherwise. He created us to make it to Olam Haba. So of course we have that form, because that's the meaning of being human. This is the creature that's going to make it to Olam Haba. So we have the form of Olam Haba already in potential form. Has to be actualized. So that's the... that's the primary objective. That's Sof Maisa, that's Machshava Tchila, right? But, you know, so the Machshava Tchila comes out at the end, right? And we have the means to get there, and that's our life in this world. So that's Tchila Sa Maisa, but it's not the Reishis HaMachshava, right? And that's the human condition, two forms, right? You know, the ultimate form, which is the end goal, which is the first in thought, and then there's the form of, you know, of earning it, right? And the main way that we earn it, right, is by facing off with all the evil in this world, facing off and defeating it. And when we do that, when we accomplish that mission, that is the power that actualizes, right? That actualizes the form that goes actual in Olam Haba. So now, the mitzvahs are called in Zohar and in Kisveri mechatzde chakla, right? It's called to reap the field, to fix the field, to reap the field, right? Olam hazeh, relative to Olam Haba, is like a field, right? Over here, you plant. We're planting here, right? And it's building up potential. And of course, planting involves a lot of getting rid of the impurity, getting rid of the weeds, getting rid of all the bugs, right? And that's the mitzvah that we do. It weeds out all the impurities, right? And of course, it's, you know, it plants seeds, like the mitzvah do are like seeds planted that blossom in Olam Haba. It's where everything that's done over here, it all goes actual over there. So this world is like a big field, right? Now, who's into fields? Yitzchak. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basode. Right? Yitzchak korol sode. Right? Yitzchak called, you know, the Temple Mount a field. Right? Avram called it a mountain. Yitzchak called it a field. Right? Yitzchak's midah of gvura, right, of might, which is the number one midah needed in avoda, in, you know, like in work, in the most in the literal sense, and in divine service, because you have to overcome your yetzer hara. You have to overcome, you know, your bad midas and fix them. It takes a lot of gevura, right? You know, that, and indeed, you know, Avraham Avinu is gemilas chasadim. You know, the world stands on three pillars: Torah, avoda, gemilas chasadim. So the verse, you know, Torah is Yaakov, and we'll get back to that in a second. Avoda is Yitzchak, right? His midah of Gvura of Avoda, right? And then there's Avraham Avinu, Gemilas Chasadim, kindness. Right? Yitzchak Avinu is very, very, you know, in touch with the idea, because his midah is the midah that's primary in Avoda, which is what life in this world is all about. So Esav is Ish Tzayid, Ish Sadeh. A man who hunts, a man of the field. Now Yitzchak is not blind. Yitzchak Avinu sees his reflection in Esav. Right? Right? And then, you know, when he gives, you know, the brachas, you know, or he's willing to give the brachas. Re'eh rech b'ni kareh hasadeh asher berchu Hashem. Right? He has a beautiful smell of the field that Hashem blessed him with. You know, Rashi says it's like a rech of Gan Eden, rech of Tapuchim. But you know, but it's a rech hasadeh asher berchu Hashem. Right? The twinship between Yaakov and Esau, which was to come and finalize the process initiated by Avraham Avinu, right? So we spoke about the creation of Adam, who was, you know, created by God himself, right? Wasn't a Chinese import. This was not really made by God himself, right? The real thing, right? Two forms. But, you know, Adam fell from grace. You know, he lost, you know, the full power of these forms when he ate from the Eitz Hadas. The mission of Yavis is to rebuild. And that's why, by no coincidence, in Maaseh Machpelah, there are four couples buried. Adam and Chava, then Abraham and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, because they are coming to rebuild everything that Adam was. Besod Atem Kriim Adam. But it was a process that got finalized with Yaakov, you know, Yaakov's generation, I should say. Right. It took three of us to rebuild everything that Adam was, and that's what the Gemara says in Baba Metzia. Shufrei de Yaakov main Shufrei de Adam Arishan. Yaakov was beautiful like Adam was. Right? And Demus Yaakov Chakuka Bekisikava, the face of Yaakov is engraved in the divine throne, as where Adam was, you know, Yaakov reattained, right, the glory that was Adam Arishan, and that's when the Jewish people start. Three called Avos, then we move, graduate to Shvatim, now tribes. We start becoming Jewish people because the process that started with Avram, finalized with Yaakov's generation of reattaining the Tzelem has been achieved, and now we can make a nation out of this rebuilt Tzelem. We got back to what Adam was. The secret of the twinship of Yaakov and Esav was they were supposed to represent the Shtei Yetziros of Adam Arishan. Adam's two forms. Right? Right? They were supposed to be Adam's two forms. Right? So Esav, we explained. Right? Esav is Ish Sodom. And Esav indeed, what was going to be one of his roles? He's going to be the Kohen. Right? That was the birthright that Yaakov bought, the Kuna. The Kuna is only in this world. Right? We don't do Karbonis in the next world. We don't do any mitzvahs in the next world. It's Mochar Lekabel Scharim. Right. You know, that is the avoda that's done here, right? Right, the kahuna and the malchus and all these things that are all to, you know, the opportunity to serve God from within this world, right? And Reb Tzadok points out, you know, in avoda, you know, whether it's the karbonis that has to be done in the Beis Hamikdash, or tefillah, which is instead of karbonis, there is one halacha that's doraisa about tefillah, one halacha alone. Everything else was rabbinic, you know. There's just the din doraisa that you got it down. But there is one thing that seems from the Rambam to be doraisa about tefillah, to face wherever the Beis Hamikdash is. Right? So even when you said back in the days, you daven freestyle. It's not makif, right? But it seems from the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that is the one thing that's doraisa. And Rav Tzadok explains, because in this world, like we said, good and evil coexist. So divine service is to turn away from evil, turn your back on the evil, and face God. And that's only an opportunity you have in this world, because in the next world, God is everywhere. There's no good and evil coexisting. Right? That's the avodah in the Mikdash, and everybody has to be poine, right? Turn towards the Mikdash. Right? And that's called the field. This is the place to do the avodah, to do the work, to do the mitzvahs. And that's the koach of Esav. Esav is the Bechor of Olam Hazeh, the one who comes out of the womb first, is the Bechor of Olam Hazeh, the one born into this world first. Right, the one who's born into the world first. And that was Esav's role. And that's that is an extension directly of the Midah of Yitzhak. He is not bothered by the fact that Esav's spending his time in the field. Yitzhak does that also. He is not bothered that Esav's a little bit rough. Because our whole avodah in this world is to, you know, to actually confront the evil, you know, have a little bit of a connection to it for the purpose of knocking it out cold. But the Ramchal says in his Sefer, Derech Eitz Chaim, right? Angels don't have free will, right? Man does. He said, why don't angels have free will? Why did God deny them that privilege? It's because there's no purpose, because an angel is stuck in its level, what would it do with free will? It's no concern. Man needs free will because man has to face off against evil. And it's like a common mistake. People don't realize, people think that free will is the ability to err and to make mistakes. That's nonsense. Angels make mistakes all the time, right? But here's the thing, you give an angel a Yetzirah, he's toast. Because there's that free, it was tried, it was an experiment. Azar and Azael, the fallen angels, right? They don't have the power of free wills to overcome. It's the opposite of what people think. Bechira is the koach to be misgaber, go against all the Yetzirah, all of your bad meters. Nothing can stop you. It's Gvura, the power to overcome. So we have the koach of Bechira, right?
Yisrael.
Yes. Okay. Right. So we have the koach of Bechira because we're meant to face off with the evil. Right. Right. We're meant to face off. So if Esav gets his hands dirty a little bit, that's life in this world. But he's got the might to overcome ultimately. Right. And this is indeed an extension of Yitzchak Avinu's own nida, Yitzchak Avinu's contribution, right, to the binyan, to rebuilding the tzelem. Right, to the ability to cope with the sudden. Right? But what's Yaakov's mission? Yaakov was formed first. So now, in Lashon HaKodesh, actually, just like in English, to be conceived first, hiroyon, Lashon hiror, thought. And even in English, conception. Conception.
Concept.
Right? Yaakov Avinu's form was Yaakov Avinu was going to be the keeper of the of our form of Olam Haba, right? But that that's also built into us. Right? That's what it means. He was conceived first. He's the Reishis HaMachshava. That's the Sof HaMaisa. Yaakov is not in the field. Yaakov just learns Torah, right? Yaakov was not meant to be the Kohen. He only learns Torah. Because that's the big difference. Mitzvahs is only in this world. But Torah, we have it in the next world also. You got to start acquiring a taste for it because it's all you're going to be doing all day. Right? So the Torah, Torah is, that is the venen and meziv ashchina. Right? Mitzvahs is a unique opportunity only in this world. Only in body, only in this world. Right? But Yaakov was ish tam yoshev ohalim. He was just purely with the Torah. In a relative sense, the Kohanim are compared to angels, right? Kisif Sei Kohen, Yishmu Das, Kimach Hashem Tzvakosu, they're compared to angels. The Talmud Chacham, who's just engaged in light, is compared to God himself. It says, Es Hashem El Kechatira, Roshim Ben Menasya, every S used to darshan a ribui. Kevin Chigila, Es Hashem El Kechatira, Pirish, right? He held back. What can you include beyond God himself, fearing God? Until Rabbi Akiva came and said, Es lo rabbis, talmidei chachamim. Right? The Talmud Chacham, who's dovik in Torah, right, is just clings to Torah, right? He is clinging to God, it's God's wisdom, God's will. It's to cling to God. It's like being in Olam Haba in your own lifetime. Right? And this is important. You have to understand, we are very unique people, right? All other nations, at best, have roots. They've got strong roots, and which we do have also. We have the avos. We don't just have strong roots in our past. We have an anchor to our future. Everyone talks, a nation has a destiny. No, we really do. We're different. We really do. We are really anchored into the destiny of Kol Yisrael Shem Chel Kol Abba. And we draw strength from that. And that's part of the secret of Bikesh Yaakov Lugal Seh Sakeitz. We are anchored to our future. It's built into us. Right? It's the potential that we're seeking to actualize. And Yaakov was supposed to be the keeper of that. Right? Except that Yaakov, already in the womb, had a feeling Esav is not going to do his part of the job, of the workload. Right? So he says, I am now the Bechor of Olam Haba, right? I am the keeper of the Yitzira Olam Haba. But Esav is going to screw up in being the Yitzira B'olam Hazeh. So he wants to be Poter Rachma, just like he was originally Yitzira, to be the Bechor on both aspects. Right? So now I mean, I should speak a little bit more that whereas the Bechorah that Esav got is Tolim Peter Rechem, whoever comes into this world first, the Bechorah of Yaakov belongs to all Israel evenly. And that's what, you know, the Baruch Shem says when he sends Moshe to Paro. Tell him, B'ni B'chori Yisrael. Right? Bereshis, first, B'shvil Yisrael Shnikru Reshis. And what else do we darshan? B'shvil HaTorah Shnikru Reshis. You know, we being the nation of Torah, that's our anchor to Olam Haba. And as far as that, which the form that Yaakov was supposed to be the guardian of, right? All Jews are equal. We're all equally called God's firstborn, because first in thought. We all have the Kol Yisrael Shem Chelko Haba. We all have that, you know, potential form. You know, we're not all created equal, I should say. right. Yeah, right. Same. No, because it goes together. Now, Gregorio, as far as the form in this world, some people have more mitzvahs, some people have less mitzvahs. Kohanim have more responsibilities than non-Kohanim, which originally was all totally in Bechorim. You know, the Bechorim would have been the Kohanim, right? But everyone, you know, as everyone participates in their workload, whatever mitzvahs they are obligated in. But Kol Yisrael Shem Chelko L'Mabo, and Kester Torah Munach L'Kol, crown of Torah anyone could have. So the form that Yaakov was the guardian of is for all Jews equally. We're the nation of Olam Haba, that are anchored to Olam Haba. It's just an issue, built-in potential that just needs to be actualized. You know, and Esav is the b'chor of Avoda, right? Avoda Basoda. Basoda is this Olam Hazeh, right? Olam Haba is where we reap, right? Yes.
Is that a failure because Esav didn't fulfill his role? I mean, did his parents fail him? I mean, or what was the? I mean.
I can't tell you, but I could tell you why Yitzhak never wanted to give up hope on him until it was brought to his attention that there's no hope, because Esav, was a reflection of what Yitzhak's contribution to the Jewish construct is, right? Now, you know, Esav, you know, obviously started off very holy. We mentioned this today. You know, that's why his head, which is in Maros HaMachpelah, right? So the partnership, so now understanding the nature of the partnership, Yaakov was always supposed to be, as it were, the Talmud Chacham, the big theologian that sets the tone, right? So now let's talk about tone for a second. What's the difference between tone and speech? So, you know, it's a Zohar, you know, that the tone is, you know, the musical movement is called, and like, or the trop is called ta'amim, like my timer, reason. As Nefesh HaChaim gives a good, and Shaar Beis gives a very good mush to understand this, right? It's 3 a.m., someone knocks on your door, right? And says, you know, I gotta catch a flight. I gotta catch a flight, and I have no, and I need a coffee, and I got no milk. And can you give me some milk? So now, and you say, you know, my life was not complete. I could not go to sleep tonight. I was just waiting for someone to knock on my door and ask for a cup of milk, right? And thank God you're here, right? And now I feel like I'm a complete person, right? The next day, he knocks on the door at 3 a.m. I mean, you said it makes you complete, so I'm back, right? No, so that's the point. As Nefesh HaChaim points out, you know, the words could be diplomatic words, but you know what a person's really thinking by the tone of his voice. And, you know, right? The tone is tells you what's really in the heart. That's the my timer. That's what, you know, what are you really thinking, right? And in that way, also, a tone could convey, you know, something that would take many, many words to describe, like how this guy's dead meat, right? This, right, the tone of voice, right, right, is and there's a lot to say about that. But you know, so Yaakov was supposed to set the tone, right? He was supposed to be the head of the religion, right? Esav would be the Kohen, the one who does the work, the mitzvahs. And, you know, and therefore, when, you know, so you say, hey, wait, he sounds like Yaakov. Let me feel those hands. Right? Right? This is great. Hakoko Yaakov. The partnership is working. Yaakov sets the tone. The Omek HaMachshava. Esav's the one with the hands, right? The doing, the mitzvahs. I was right. Rivka was wrong. Right? The model is working out. I didn't say you said that, right? But yeah, I was right. The partnership is working out, right? You know, Esau's hands, Yaakov's voice, setting the tone, setting the headspace. You make a machshav, right? It's working out. So then it comes out that the whole thing was really Yaakov, and Yitzhak has to make peace, right, with the fact that Esau is out of the fold. So the brachas that Yaakovinu gets before he goes to the house of Laban, those were always meant for Yaakov. Because what were the brachas that he, as it were, stole from Esau? Mitala Shemayim Shonei Eretz, brachas for this world. Plenty bountiful and a good life, a prosperous life. Let's all talk about this world. That was Esau's part. That was Esau's part, right? The Birkas Avraham, which was to be the head of the religion, right? And with that goes the land of Israel, right? That was always meant for Yaakov. That Yaakov didn't have to steal. Those brachas that Yaakov got on his way out to the house of Laban were always intended for Yaakov. Brachas that had to steal were the brachas for this world. Right? But now that Yaakov Avinu had to buy out Esav, he also had to marry his wife. And that's what it says. Chazal say that, he confronted Leah. Why did you participate in this? All right, Laban, I can't trust him. Right, but why did you participate? Why were you willing? He said, well, listen, didn't you walk into your father and claim to be Esau? It's not the pshat, it was she was like hitting him back, don't be so righteous, right? Mm-hmm. No, he's saying, no, you bought out Esau from the Jewish people, you gotta marry me. Because Leah was his intended zivuk if he would stay in the fold. Mm-hmm. You bought him out, right? You gotta marry me. And have with me all the tribes that Esau would have had with me. That's what would happen. Huh? Right. So in short, we as the Jewish people, we have we're carrying a double load, that was initially meant to be, the third generation would have been two forefathers for this double load. That now Yaakov has to incorporate and take all in one. And that's why he had to marry Leah in addition to Rachel. Right? And that is that we have to fight for God in this world, with the Gevura, with the Yedei Esav, and that's what the Sfarim say, Hakal Kol Yaakov Yedaim Yedei Esav. When we're light in our Torah learning, so the hands, the hands of Esav reign, right? But if we are strong in our Torah learning, the hands of Esav are by us, and that's called the completion, that we should be the masters of this world, because we're going to correct it, we're going to change it, and we're going to refine it, and that's our ticket to actualize our tzelem, right? That goes actual in olam haba, but that tzelem exists already, right? It's just our potential form, this potential form needs to be fed, right? And what feeds it directly, even now, is the Torah that we learn, right? It's the Torah that we learn is not just another mitzvah to do in this world. The Torah that we learn is literally kihem chayenu v'orech yameinu, and we say orech yameinu. Chazal always makes a drasha liom shekulo orech. The Torah that you learn is not just another mitzvah. The Torah that you learn is a taste of your olam haba. It is directly nourishing that tzelem that's currently in potential, and the experience of Torah learning. I mean, when you do it for real. Fully engaged. It is not just another mitzvah. It is to experience olam haba in your own lifetime, right? And then a person at the time that he's learning Torah has a special divine protection on him. He is directly clinging to God. So, you guys, we got to do. We had great stuff here to nourish our form in this world, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, guys, tomorrow you hit the base medrash and you nourish the tzura olam haba. L'chaim.
Aye, 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 aye.